Our scripture text comes from Genesis, the 32nd chapter. I'll be reading verses 22 through 30. It's a story about a wrestling match. So I'd encourage you to follow along with me. The context of this is that Esau and Jacob have been separated for 20-some years. Jacob is the one that stole his brother's blessing and ran away because Esau threatened to kill him. Jacob now wants to reconcile, and so he's planning this meeting with his brother Esau. And so we sort of pick up the story as part of that process. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. And God added his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Lord and our God, we thank you for the privilege of being in this place to be able to worship you. We thank you that you have called us by name. And so in this hour, we ask that your presence would make our worship more alive. And we ask that your spirit would attune our ears to hear your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever needed a hug? Ever had one of those days? A number of years ago at another church, there was a situation that came up. We had a special needs woman who was in her 30s, she might have even been 40, who helped out with our 3- and 4-year-old Sunday school class. And the teachers came to me one day and they said that this woman, that she'd been doing some inappropriate things. Not terrible things, but just some things that were sort of just not what we wanted somebody to be doing. And they wanted to know if I'd be willing to talk with her parents, she still lived at home, about the situation. That's not a conversation I wanted to have. But I went to her parents and I talked to them, and as gently as I could, I explained what the situation was and what our concerns were. And as I talked to them, I saw just pain all over their face. And I left their house, and I went back to my house, and I just sat there. I was emotionally drained. And I just sat there, and I was in a world of hurt, and I hurt for them. It's hard enough to raise a special needs child, but then I just felt like I'd added to their pain. That night I needed a hug, and I'm pretty sure that they needed one, maybe more than I needed one. Now suppose you go through life and you need a hug, but you never get it. You need the affirmation of your father or your mother, and it never comes. That's the kind of situation Jacob found himself in. Jacob was at that point in his life when he really had that same kind of ache in his soul. He needed desperately for somebody to hug him, but really he needed something far more than just a warm, fuzzy hug. He wanted something from God to fill that hole in his soul. The text tells us that Jacob wrestled with a man. That's just sort of another way of saying God in human form. He wrestled with a man all night long. And he wants something from this man that nobody else can give him. And he's willing to risk life and limb in order to get it. What does he want? He wants the blessing of God. Now, you might remember Jacob a little bit. I mentioned him the first time in the beginning part of this series on the family and on families. I mentioned him way back at the beginning of January about his story. Jacob is a twin with Esau. Esau is the older brother. And when they were at a certain age, Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, decide to deceive the father, Isaac, in order to get Esau's blessing. So Jacob steals Esau's blessing. And Esau is so angry with him that he threatens to kill him. Jacob runs away. He hasn't seen his brother, as I said before I read the text, he hasn't seen his brother in over 20 years. But it seems to me that the blessing that he got didn't particularly stick to him very well, because here he is as an adult with a family and wealth that he still wants something else. Still needs the blessing of God. He says to God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And I don't think he said it casually like we say to a waitress, hold the tomato and the onion. He said it with that cry that comes from the pit of your soul, the very center of your being. Now, of course, Jacob had some emotional baggage, don't we all? But he had some emotional baggage probably that went along with that particular cry. Because as I've said a few weeks ago, as Jacob was growing up, he wasn't his father's favorite child. He was his mother's favorite child, but not his father's. And what that means, if you've had that experience, you know better than I. But what that means is when Jacob wanted his father's affirmation and praise, he didn't really receive it, or he didn't receive it enough in abundance. Sure, he got some from his mother, but you need both of them working together. And so Jacob sort of had that hole in his soul left over maybe from childhood. He was sort of carrying that emotional baggage with him all of these years. And what he wanted the most, he never found in all of the money, all of the possessions that he owned. What he wanted and needed most was the blessing of his heavenly Father. So now, here he is, so many years later, he's wrestling with God and asking for this blessing because he wants a blessing that's specific on him. Because I think he understands intuitively that the blessing that he got so many years ago wasn't for him. It was given to him, but it wasn't for him. It was for his brother, Esau. The words that Isaac, his father, gave to him were primarily aimed and directed and in hope that they would be given to Esau, not to Jacob. Sort of makes you wonder what was so special about this blessing that Jacob was willing to risk his life in order to gain. Well, there's five components of the blessing. As you look at the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob, there's five components, and they're not real stiff and separate. They're sort of all woven together. But if you look at it, there's five components to it. And I want to sort of talk a little bit about those today, identify them, and just say a word about them. Because there are things that we can use as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as loved ones, that we can pass along the love of Jesus Christ, using them as a guide. The first component to the blessing is meaningful touch. When Isaac goes to bless Jacob, he comes in and Isaac puts his hand on Jacob's head, and then he asks Jacob to come in and give him a kiss. Sort of a traditional greeting, just like our handshake is today, a traditional greeting in the ancient Near East. But even though that was sort of a formality for them, there is no denying the fact that meaningful touch provides a critical background to any kind of blessing. You all understand, I'm sure you know, the importance of touch in your life. You know how much a hug means to you, or somebody who comes up and puts their arm around you, or somebody who comes up and holds your hand, or just puts their hand on your forearm or on your arm. Just little simple ways that we communicate affection and acceptance and warmth and empathy and sympathy towards somebody else. Powerful. Touch is a powerful message. One of the things that widows and widowers alike have said over the years, that one of the things that they miss the most when their spouse passes away is touch. They don't have anyone that can hug them or put their arm around them. And they miss that. The second component to the blessing is the spoken message. It goes hand in hand, as I said a minute ago. All of these are sort of woven together. But along with meaningful touch is a spoken message. Isaac gives words of affirmation to Jacob. You know, there's some families that are very good about supplying all of their children's needs and often most of their wants. They give them everything that that child could possibly ever dream about except themselves. They don't provide for the emotional needs of that child. You know what we call those children? Criminals. The emotional side of our being is more important than the physical side of our being. So that the need to have a spoken message, words of affirmation that are attached to a touch, are absolutely essential in the blessing that you want to pass on to your loved one. The third component is that you want to attach a high value to the person that's being blessed. Maybe that's sort of common sense, I'm sure it is, but you're not going to give words of affirmation to somebody that you don't care for. But blessing means to honor somebody. G.K. Chesterton said that the greatest mystery and miracle is the person that's sitting next to you, the one that's been created in God's image and likeness. And so if God has given you somebody to love, then honor them and value them. And that leads us to the fourth component, and that is a blessing includes a picture of a bright or special future for the one that's being blessed. The words that Isaac pronounce and give to Jacob are words that are filled with hope, that are filled with encouragement. They're filled, it's a positive future, a positive image of a future. The blessing that God gives to eventually to Jacob and the blessing that God gives to us is one that's it's positive. Why? Because it's framed by the promises and the love of God. Past week, we celebrated Martin Luther King Day. You can't think, at least I can't think of Martin Luther King without thinking of his I Have a Dream speech. He gave that speech in a time in our nation's history when things were very, very difficult and challenging. There are a lot of people in this country that had no civil rights. But he said those words and he gave that speech when he said those things in faith. And in faith, those words sort of forged the reality of the future. A reality that we saw come to fruition with the inauguration of Obama. A blessing is something that where we envision a positive future. But it's not enough just to give words. It brings us to the last element or component of a blessing, and that is that we are committed to fulfilling that blessing, to making sure that that blessing is fulfilled, is satisfied. That by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we as parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles or caregivers, that we do all that we can to provide an environment in which that blessing can be fulfilled in that child's life. You look at Jesus' ministry, you notice that all of these elements had an importance in his ministry. He regularly went out and touched people and blessed them and healed them. He spoke words of affirmation and encouragement to them. With the exception of the religious leaders, he rarely condemned people because of their lack of faith. Rather, he encouraged them to go and to see a brighter future by going, as he said to the woman at the well, go and sin no more. Jesus was always committed to us. Death on the cross obviously signifies that. It's sort of like son, like father. God hears Jacob's cry to be blessed, and God blesses Jacob. But he does two other things that are kind of strange. One is really strange, and one is just sort of borderline weird. He weakens Jacob. He injures Jacob in the process of this blessing. And I don't know about you, but I sort of think that when you bless somebody, you shouldn't hurt them. Certainly not physically. I mean, doesn't that seem like a contradiction to you? I'm going to bless you, but I'm going to make you limp. How's that a blessing? Why did he do it? He made Jacob limp because Jacob had to realize that he needed to be less self-sufficient. He needed to realize that whatever was going to happen to him after this point was not going to come as a result of his own iron will, his own abilities, his own skill sets, his wealth, his integrity, what little he had. They weren't going to come because of him. In the New Testament, Paul has a thorn in his side, not a literal thorn, but some kind of an annoyance, some kind of a problem in his personal or spiritual life that he couldn't stand, that really bothered him. And he asked God several times to take that thorn away from him, to remove that difficulty in his life. And God's response comes out of 2 Corinthians 12 when he says, no, I'm not going to do that because my grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in your weakness. So God gives Jacob a limp because he wanted to remind Jacob not to be so self-sufficient and to be more dependent on him. Understand, Jacob had sort of been going his own way for a long, long time. There's more than one biblical scholar who thinks that Jacob, that this whole wrestling match with God was Jacob's conversion experience. Like Paul's, you know, riding to Damascus. Paul is knocked off of his horse. The same kind of thing for Jacob. That all those years, Jacob, yes, you know, he'd been the son of one of the fathers of the nation, but he'd just been going through the motions. He wasn't really committed to God. So God gives him this limp. God wants to make sure that he's committed to him. In order to remind Jacob of his commitment to God, God gives him this limp. Because when you limp, you're not quite so self-assured. You can't go quite so quickly. You don't have the same kind of confidence when you have a physical disability as some people do when they're completely healthy. He gives him an injury to remind him of his need for God, which unfortunately is what God does to us as well. We don't like it. We don't like it any more than probably Jacob does. But it's a sad fact that in our life, God, as C.S. Lewis said, shouts in our pain. Why? Because we happen to be deaf most of the rest of the time. The only time we actually are able to hear God's voice is usually in pain, in sadness, in sorrow, or in injury. Why is that? That's the story of the nation of Israel. It's the story of the church. It's your story. It's my story. God gives Jacob a limp to remind him of his commitment, to remind him to be dependent on God. That's the first thing he does. The second thing he does is he renames Jacob. The word Israel means somebody who wrestles with God, somebody who struggles with God. And here is a man who has done just that. Here's a man who's persisted and persevered all night long wrestling with God. So God names him Israel. It gives him his identity. This is where the nation of Israel gets their name, Israel. A nation that struggles with God. The whole history of Israel in the Old Testament and for the church in the New Testament, for the church today, is about a group of people that struggle continually with their relationship with God. What does that mean? How does that look? What does that feel like? How do we live that out? How can we continually be obedient to God in a world that continually wants to push him away? God changes Jacob's name to Israel. And when God does that, and he doesn't do it a lot in the Bible, but when he does do it, it means several things. It means a change in status. It means a change or a new era in somebody's life, a new phase in somebody's life. Or it could mean a change in personality. And for Jacob, it sort of meant all of those things. He changed Abram's name to Abraham. He changed Sarai's name to Sarah. He changed Simon's name to Peter. And here he changes Jacob's name to Israel, a sign of Jacob's change, the change in life, the change in status, the fact that now Jacob is really committed to God. Those five elements of the blessing are all wrapped up in this wrestling match that God has with Jacob. You see the touch in the wrestling match. Maybe it wasn't all that friendly, but it still was touch. You see the words of affirmation and the bright future and the promise of love and affection and commitment all sort of rolled into when God says to Jacob and renames Jacob. Some of you, maybe growing up as a child or as a young person, never received any kind of blessing from your parents. Maybe you, like Jacob, you weren't really valued. Maybe like Jacob, you were just a survivor that got along on meager scraps of spiritual and emotional words. Maybe you've been very successful living on those kinds of scraps. I mean, look at Jacob. He was a very successful person. And yet, in spite of all that success, he still cried out to God. He had a need, that hole in his soul that only God could fill. Once Jacob is blessed by God, we see Jacob, we can see it sort of limping out to meet his brother Esau. And he's limping out not to fight Esau, limping out in order to reconcile with his brother. And when the two finally meet, they hug and they kiss and they cry. And Jacob, in a sense, gives Esau a blessing by telling Esau, he says, seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. You see, once you've been blessed by God, you've been blessed in order to be a blessing to other people. And so if you've received God's blessing, if you've experienced God's love, here's your homework for the week. I want you to take a few minutes and affirm your children. And I want you to take a few minutes and I want you to tell your spouse five reasons why they bless your life. And I want you to call or write to your parents and tell them and thank them for what they've done for you. If they haven't done a lot good, then find something positive and affirm them for that. And you say, well, they already know. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. You don't know how life-changing that moment could be for the person that you care about. The good news of the gospel is that God has blessed us in order to be a blessing to others. The good news of the gospel is that we have a God who, rather than keeping us at arm's length, He comes and He touches us, speaks to us, and He affirms us. Because the reason why we have any kind of value, any kind of worth, any kind of dignity or integrity at all is because we've been made by God. Otherwise, we're just a mass of molecules with no meaning whatsoever. The good news of the gospel is that God promises us a wonderful future, because it is a future that is framed by the promises of God, painted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has given us the ability to give that gift of a blessing, to everyone that we love around us. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for this gift. We thank You for how You've come into our hearts and our lives. You've touched us. You've affirmed us. You've loved us unconditionally. And so, Lord, we ask that we would not just accept that, but that we would actually return the favor to those whom we love and to those whom nobody loves. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.